Hello. So, I'm Stefan Graeber. I'm the project leader for Linux containers. And I'm just switching to the right screen here. There we go. And I'm one of the Incus maintainers. I was also the former project leader for LexD when I was working at Canonical. So, gonna go for a tiny bit of history first, and then go into more of, you know, what Incus is and what can you do with it. So, the LXC project itself was created way back in August 2008 through IBM. That's the kind of original Linux containers runtime, and has been used kind of everywhere, including the original version of Docker and some other places. At that point, Linux containers itself was created. So the organization was created back in September 2013. And the LexD project got announced by Canonical in November 2014. Then LexD has been going on for a while until a lot of things happened in 2023. So on July 4th, Canonical announced that LexD was going to be moved out of the Linux containers community project and moved into the Canonical organization itself. The next day, we noticed that all non-Canonical maintainers had lost all privileges on the repository. So only Canonical employees were left maintaining it at that point. Then a few days later, I left Canonical. So that happened. Then August 1st, Alexa Sarai, who was the OpenSUSE packager for LexD, decided to go ahead and fork LexD as a new community project called Incus. A few days after that, we made a decision to include Incus as part of the Linux Containers project, effectively giving it the spot that LexD once had. Incus 0.1 was released on October 7th, and we've had another four releases since then. And lastly, just as a bit of an early Christmas present, Canonical decided to go ahead and relicense LexD to AGPL, as well as require everyone to sign a CLA to contribute to LexD. The consequence of that for us as an Apache 2 project is that we cannot look at anything happening in LexD anymore. We can't take any changes from LexD anymore, so Incus is effectively a hard fork at that point. So that's the history. Now to go back to what is this thing actually all about. So Incus is a system container and virtual machine manager. It's image-based, so you've got a pretty large selection of distros. There's going to be a whole slide about that a bit later. It lets you effectively kind of cloud-like immediately create instances of any of those images. The system container part means that we run full Linux distributions. We don't run application containers. We don't run OCI right now. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. The containers are really like a full Linux system that you then install packages kind of the normal way. Everything is built around a REST API with a pretty decent CLI tool. That REST API also has other clients. We'll go through that in a tiny bit. Incus got great support for resource limits, so you can pretty easily limit CPU, memory, disk, network, I/O, whatever you want. It's also got extremely good device pass-through to both containers and virtual machines, so you can do things like passing GPUs or attaching virtual TPMs or sharing your home directory or doing a whole bunch of different kind of sharing and passing through of devices into containers and virtual machines. It also supports all of the expected stuff. I mean, it does snapshots, it does backups, it's got a variety of networking options, a bunch of storage options, all of that stuff. It can also create projects as a way to group a bunch of instances together, and effectively even OpenID Connect, which is kind of the go-to standard these days. And for authorization, we support OpenFGA, which is the Open Fine-Grained Access Control project. That gets you, as the name implies, pretty fine-grained access control. There's also a number of web interfaces you can use on top of that. So here you've got one of those, which is actually the LexD web interface that runs perfectly fine on top of Incus. That's one of the options there. As far as what you can run, well, there are a few options. You can see up there. So Incus is indeed all based around images. We build images for pretty much all of the major Linux distros, and even some of the not so major. And we build everything on both x86 and ARM. The vast majority of them are available for as both container or VMs. We've got a number of them that are just for containers. And then because we do normal VMs, you can also run Windows, FreeBSD, whatever hell you want, whatever else you want inside of the virtual machine. All right. So let's do a first quick demo of kind of the standalone Incas experience. So if I switch over there, first thing we'll do is just launch Arch Linux container. There we go. So we've got that. Then let's do another one for, let's do Alpine, the Edge release. So just do that. And this is obviously at risk of blowing up at any point because I'm on the FOSDEM Wi-Fi. But Ubuntu, I think Ubuntu, I was planning on doing a VM. Yeah, okay. So let's do a VM instead of a container. So just tell it you want a VM instead. That's pretty much all that there is to it. And with that running, so we can see that the two containers already started, got their IPs and everything. The VM is still booting up, so it hasn't got its IP yet. It does now. If you want to get into any of them, you can just exec any commands. You can get a shell into Alpine. You can get a full bash inside of Arch. And you can do the exact same thing with the virtual machine. So like you don't need to like get a console and log in and everything. Like there's an agent automatically in our virtual machines. You get to just immediately access them as if they're containers. So that works really well. You can create snapshots. So if we wanted to snapshot, opposite snapshot, create, say, on the Arch one. If you don't give it a name, it just picks one for you. So we can see there's now a snapshot that we can restore or just keep around. There's also the ability to do automatic snapshots with like a cron type pattern with automatic snapshot expiry. You can do all that kind of stuff. Now let's create a custom storage volume. So we'll just do storage volume create default squid storage volume create. Whoops. Let's call it demo, and then we're going to be adding that as a device to, let's say, Arch. So just call it demo. It's a disk. It comes from the default storage pool, and the volume is called demo. Configure this, there, and I forgot to do add. There, device add. Now, if we go inside of that VM, again, we see there's a new entry there, an MNT home. Hey, that's my home directory. So that's very nice and easy. It's kind of doing automatically virtufs, 9p, all that kind of stuff. It talks to the agents to trigger the mounts. And it just, like, our goal is for virtual machines to feel like containers in, like, as much as we can. And having that agent in there really makes that super easy. And for the last party trick of this demo, let's do launch images, OpenSUSE, Tumbleweed, desktop KDE. As a desktop image, and we also tell it that I want to see the VGA console as soon as it starts. So when I do that, it actually gets me a second window, which I need to drag over here, and let's try and full screen that thing, maybe. Yeah, full screen doesn't work, okay. But we can see it boot, and it's gonna get us eventually into a KDE session. Not sure why the resize didn't work. Oh, okay, maybe the desktop will. I saw a mouse pointer that was about the right size. Nope. Okay. So it is starting KDE there. So we even have some desktop images. We've got an Arch desktop image with GNOME. We've got Ubuntu with GNOME. And we've got OpenSUSE with KDE. We're not building too many more of them, mostly because they're actually very expensive to build as far as like resource, like the build time and distributing pretty large images. But it's to show that this works. And if you want to run your own, you can totally do that. All right. So. Let's just go back to slides. Come on. Where is my slide? There we go. Other things you can do. As this thing is effectively your own local tiny cloud, and it's all built on REST APIs, well, it also makes it very easy to integrate with other things. And other things here mean some of the pretty usual tools you might be dealing with. So Terraform or OpenTofu, you can integrate with that very easily. We've got a provider to maintain ourselves that you get to use. Ansible's got a connection plugin that you can use to deploy any of your playbooks directly against virtual machines or containers. And if you want to build your own images as derivatives of ours, you can use Packer as a very easy way to take our images and inject whatever stuff you want in there. There are a bunch of other tools. I mean, LexD especially had a lot of third-party tools that could integrate with it. A bunch of those are now migrating over to Inca, so supporting both. So it's a list that's very rapidly growing. Other things you can do. Well, Incus exposes an open metrics endpoint to get the details like the resource consumption and usage and all that kind of stuff of all of the instances running on it. So you can integrate that with Prometheus to scrape that data and keep it on the side. It also supports streaming, logging, and audit events to Grafana Loki. So you get to effectively have your events and your metric in the same spot, at which point you can use the dashboard that we've got in the Grafana store to get something like that and run on Intel. So that's pretty convenient as well. If you don't like typing the name of your remote every time, you can switch to a remote. So you just do a remote switch, at which point if I do a list, it goes straight to that remote and you don't need to type it every single time. That cluster is actually using a mix of local storage and remote storage. So it's got Ceph for HDDs, Ceph SSDs, and it's got a local ZFS storage pool as well. And on the network side, it uses Oven. So it actually has all of the high availability stuff in place. And actually, if we look at the remote list from earlier, we can see that it uses OIDC for login. So it's also using the authentication bits I mentioned. Now, if you wanted to launch, say, I don't know, a Debian 12 instance on that thing, you can do it the perfectly normal way, and that's just going to instruct the cluster to go and do it. So in this case, thankfully, it's running back home with very fast internet, so I don't need to wait for the Fosdem Wi-Fi to download stuff for me. But yes, effectively downloading the image, unpacking it, creating the volume on Ceph in this case, and then starting the instance. I didn't even tell it what server I wanted it on, so it just picked wherever it made sense. Which is actually funny, because if you use an image and you don't specify what architecture you want, you're going to get one of the architectures. So in this case, I didn't tell it I wanted ARM or Intel. There was more capacity on ARM, so I got an ARM instance. So we can go and check that easily, but I know that the server it picked in that list is an ARM server. So if I go in here and look at the architecture, it's AR64. All right. Let's just look at things here. There we go. And I wanted to just show the dashboard as well. I'm just going to need to drag that particular window over. Where is it? It is here. I had it open. I've got way too many windows open on my laptop. Okay, so it's Grafana. Loading, and Incus dashboard. Okay, and just making sure it looks at the right cluster before I show it to you. So, there we go. Yeah, so this is actually the dashboard for the very cluster I was talking to. So it's SHF, the one I was showing. It's looking at the demo project. So we can see kind of the top offenders as far as resource usage or that kind of stuff. We can look at graphs for network, for storage. And we can even kind of go down on the specific instances and see what